So our long series, Kidnapped by Circumstance, continues. And, you know, look, all of us have been kidnapped by the COVID circumstance. We're all locked down and had to have a Christmas or a Hanukkah or a New Year or a holiday season. And it's different times. But for our friend Lisa Raitt, the former deputy leader of the Conservative Party, former minister, former MP, it's different. And Lisa's been part of our regular series talking about living with her husband, Bruce, and their kids. Bruce, of course, has early onset Alzheimer's. And before the year passed, Lisa was just really candid, talking to us and others about what it's like and trying to pull back the curtain. It's not easy. Sometimes Bruce is a big guy. Sometimes it's got violent. And Lisa talked about that very candidly. And she said something that has never left my mind. It's the disease. It's not Bruce. But we wanted to check back in with Lisa, and she joins us now. Lisa, good to have you back on the program. Now we're all stuck in the lockdown. I thought of you right away in the lockdown. Like, my God, things are just getting worse. How were the holiday season, and how are you guys doing since our last conversation?
Hey, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. The holidays were pretty tough, I have to say. The one good day was New Year's Eve, where we had a lovely day. You know, we had a little bonfire in the backyard, and it was relatively calm in the house. Unfortunately, New Year's Day, it all took a really bad turn. And since January 1st, Bruce has been within the Halton medical system. So on January 1st, instead of acting out behaviorally towards me as I tried to help him wash or clean or something, he was acting erratically, and he just started to, you know, Bruce played hockey and he played football all his life. And what was happening on New Year's Day was he was lining me up as if he was going to either tackle me or check me into the boards. And the kids got really nervous about it, and my son tried to intervene. So I took the choice, because we were concerned about our safety, to call 911. And we had paramedics and police arrive. He was transported to Milton Emergency. From there, he went to the Oakville Trafalgar Hospital in the Adult Psychiatric Unit. And then last Tuesday, he was transferred finally to the place where he's going to get better, and that's Baycrest's Behavioral Neurology Unit. All kinds of words there, I know. I'm just trying to get it all straight.
Okay, this is a lot to process. So yeah. this is the turning point. So and I just want people to understand this. These decisions that Lisa has calmly outlined, and Lisa just listening to you, are agonizing, because it means that you had done everything. And I just want to remind folks, they'd, you know, cell phones in the room, locked doors. Bruce again. I can't stress this enough, people. Before he had early onset Alzheimer's, this is a gentle giant, right? Is that the best way to describe him?
Yeah,
big man,
100%.
But gentle. And now then the disease just extremely, it can, with episodes of violence. But Lisa, it must have been a point for you after everything you've been through, because you didn't want to do this. You just must have thought that this is it. It's just too much.
It was too much. And my decision was definitely backed up when he gets into the hospital system, and they can't contain him either. So they have to utilize whatever tools they have in order to ensure that he doesn't hurt nurses and he doesn't hurt health workers. Because, you know, he was starting to shove people, and he had to be restrained. He was behind a locked door. There was a security officer still posted on his door, just because this is what the disease does. And yep, I'm talking about it openly, and I'm not embarrassed by it. It is, unfortunately, 30% of people with young onset Alzheimer's may end up having these kinds of behaviors. And now he's in the right place to have it dealt with.
So how do they deal with it? They're just like, what medications or do they have to give them to stop the violent outbreaks?
That's the hard part. You really can't stop them. That's why he's in this unit, where they're going to study him, make sure the right medications are being utilized, and building some strategies to deal with what his concerns are, and try to really read what's going on and give him the help that clearly is needed. But the kinds of things that you do without having that information is three ways. You restrain physically, which is the literal physical restraints that you need to put on a person's body. Right. You restrain chemically by giving them a drug that's going to make them drowsy or calm them down. And you restrain them environmentally by putting them behind a locked door. And those are the things that myself and my family have been dealing with for the past 13 days. It's easy to talk about it now. It was not easy to get through the last 13 days of the realization, because it runs in your mind. You know, I don't want to picture my beautiful husband being restrained. And that's unfortunately what I ended up seeing when I visited him at the hospital.
Speaking with Lisa Raitt. Lisa, here's the other thing. And you spoke about this with all of us before the new year. You said, you know, if he ever gets back into the system, if he's allowed to, my great concern is he'll never get out. And that must be the other element now.
It is, and I'm kind of torn on it, because here we are talking about lockdown and everything negative that is happening at these poor long-term care homes. But in some ways, for people in families where they're dealing with really strongly unsafe behaviors from their loved ones, a long-term care home is a godsend. So I'm on the other side of it.
And then the complexities of this are just, you know, I feel for you, Lee, so much, but I'm sure in some ways for your family, it's because of you weren't sleeping. It was 24/7. It was dangerous. There's relief probably that he's in this place. And that probably leads to guilt that you feel that way. You know, like it's less like this unrelenting sense, right?
It, absolutely. And you go through all of the stages of grief. It's called ambiguous grief. The person that you love is still there, but they're not there, and you've made decisions that they're not there anymore. And it, you can let it play on your mind, but I'm getting great support from everybody within the medical establishment saying, no, we're seeing him up close, Lisa. You did exactly the right thing, and this is what should happen in these kinds of cases. That's what we're equipped for.
Ambiguous grief. I haven't heard that term before. That's interesting. Ambiguous grief. Yeah. That's a powerful term. Lisa, Steve Smith just texted us. I feel for you, Lisa. My dad had it. He was holding my baby son. Suddenly he started to strangle him. I'm remembering the war.
I know. Oh, Steve, I'm so sorry for that. It's terrifying. Bruce loved our dog. It was his princess, and he tried to kick her just before Christmas. And we knew at that point in time we were really losing him.
Well, Lise, first of all, I can't tell you what it's meant to our listeners and to the country that you've been so open about it. And I know it's hard, but it's necessary, because there's just so many people dealing with Alzheimer's, and early onset Alzheimer's has not been talked about. And Lisa, I'm just getting so many other people saying hugs to you. My dad went through this. My dad was the kindest person ever, and he became a scared, violent person after Alzheimer's. So, yeah. You know, it's a long process. That's Lisa Raitt. And Lisa, we'll continue checking in with you for all sorts of reasons. And not just about this, but, you know, Lisa's got views on a lot of things. But I think what you're doing now has been incredibly brave, and you know how much we love having you on the program. So good to have you back, and what a new year, Lisa. And good luck with the lockdown blues. You're a shining light for all of us, man. You really are. I got to tell you, Lisa.
Appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too. And you know, you could tell Lisa's really from the East Coast when she calls you buddy. That's the Cape Breton in her. Thanks, buddy. She's good people though, and she's gone through a hard thing.